Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, you have a cordial invitation to stick around. The Flatline is designed to remind you of biblical truths and introduce you to a new way of studying and a new way of learning God's Word. I do this all with no manipulation, no solicitation, no sort of asking for money, nothing like that. It's just 30 minutes of education, motivation, and inspiration. That's my job. Verify and identify God's plan for you, and hopefully, you will orient and adjust to the plan. So the FLOT line is about changing the way you think. FLOT, F-L-O-T, stands for the Forward Line of Troops. That's a military term, and we're talking about you having a forward line of troops. Invisibly speaking, it's a metaphor, but in your soul, a forward line of troops in your soul made up of God's problem-solving devices. Specifically, 10 unique problem-solving devices. When you learn these problem-solving devices and use them, then you will be able to stop the outside source of adversity from ever becoming the inside source of stress. You know, and I know, that adversity is inevitable, but you may not know that stress is optional. Because adversity is what those circumstances do to you, and stress, well, that's what you do to yourself. So by learning God's Word, using God's Word, using one of the 10 problem-solving devices, the one called a faith rest drill, then we're able to have a tremendously relaxed mental attitude in spite of whatever we may face. If we use rebound, the problem-solving device number one, then we learn how to confess our sin when we commit sin, because we know that sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And a Christian cannot live the Christian life with the Holy Spirit grieved or quenched in his life. I've often told people, if you want to find out what kind of friend you have or pastor you have, ask him a question. How do I live the Christian life? If he does not tell you, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do it. You have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit and the combination of the Word of God. Those two things together give you balance of residency in your soul. If he doesn't tell you that, if he tells you, be good, be nice, be sweet, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, well, that's not how you live the Christian life. Those may be things Christians do, but that's not how you live the Christian life. We teach all of that on the FLOT line, and if you've listened long enough, you've heard me go over it and over it and over it, and we'll keep going over it. So the rebound technique guarantees the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, and that deals with the sin nature, how we keep the old sin nature from controlling our lives. Using the faith rest drill, that's dealing with the Word of God and how we stand firm in the promises of God. And then grace orientation, where we live by grace, die by grace, and expect surpassing grace in heaven. And biblical orientation, where we do what the Bible says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. All of this gives us a personal sense of destiny. That destiny that we know what God designed us to be, what God designed us to do. And that's motivated by our personal love for God, the greatest virtue you could ever have in your life. Virtue love, your personal love for God, is the greatest virtue you could ever have. Impersonal love for all mankind is another problem-solving device, because that lets you love jerks, weirdos, obnoxious people. People you're not supposed to be able to love, but you love them based on your character, not theirs. And then sharing the happiness of God, the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ passed on to those disciples. And then eventually being occupied with Christ, tremendous problem-solving device. Those are 10 problem-solving devices. We have them on a bookmark. If you'd like one, contact us. We'll send it to you. And we have them in a book, Christian Problem Solving. We can send that to you as well, free of charge. Everything on this show, free of charge. We do not raise money. We don't solicit funds. We don't sell anything. It's free, free, free. God gave it to you free, and you give it away free. So today, if you will let me, I want to move into a different area. I want to talk about being an influencer. An influencer. Some of you are seated today in your home in various cities across this country. You've written to me. You've contacted me through the internet, emails, personal letters, and I want you to understand what it means to be an influencer. You know, these times in our country are very historical. Medical emergencies, civil unrest, as well as meltdown of divine institutions. And do you remember what the divine institutions are? Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. Those four things. Freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. So when we begin to break down those divine institutions, we begin to break down the rule of law when protesters can assault people and not be arrested. Well, these are times that are historical. The attitude in America is shifting. The whole concept of what America is and freedom is being challenged today. Can you actually do anything about it? You're one person. You may be one person sitting alone in a home in Colorado. You may be one person alone in Maryland. You may be one person alone in California or Texas or Mississippi. Can you do anything about it? Yes. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9, 14, and 15, there was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and he besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. And there was found in that city a poor, wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the entire city. And yet no man remembered that same poor man. One man delivered a city with wisdom. Wisdom is the most amazing thing that you could have because it gives you insight and discernment. The only way you can acquire any wisdom is to get some understanding. And when you get understanding from the Word of God and convert gnosis into epinosis, let me use those big words. Gnosis is the Greek word knowledge, and epinosis is the Greek word full knowledge. What we have to learn in the Bible is not just hear it, but apply it. Hear it is gnosis, apply it is epinosis. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it, hear it and apply it. So if you want wisdom, it's found in the Bible. I suggest you read Proverbs. My own pastor has been teaching a phenomenal study in Proverbs. Absolutely unbelievable, practical, divine wisdom in your life every day. So this man had practical, divine wisdom, and he delivered the city. This verse can apply to you in this day, the day of doubt and about the future, the day of confusion about what's going on in the election year. Ecclesiastes 9:17, again, the word of the wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Now, you and I both know that negative volition, put a minus V, negative volition, rejects wisdom. Negative volition wants nothing to do with biblical wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. What is a fool? It's an arrogant, self-righteous individual. Artificially intelligent, AI, artificial intelligence is the fool. He thinks he's smart as God or smarter than God, and he rejects God's word. He's not interested in the wisdom of the word of God, and as a result, he destroys his life. So negative volition is not interested in learning any wisdom. You're not going to be able to reach everybody. You're not going to be able to influence everybody in your field of influence, but you will influence. Just because no one listens, it does not mean you should never speak. I mean, go back and ask Noah. According to Genesis 6:3, God gave a warning about the length of days that man would live. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Now, we know it took many years to build the ark, and we know that no one entered it but he and his family. That's Noah and his family. But he warned them every day, there's a flood coming, there's a flood coming. I'm building a boat. You can get on the boat. You can get in the ark. No one got on. They all laughed at him. They all made fun of him until the flood started. And then when everybody tried to rush the boat to get in, God slammed the door shut. Your assignment, wherever you may be this morning, is a modern-day Noah, and you are to warn of God's coming judgment. How do you do that? By lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, since the cross is a magnet for sinners. The cross is a magnet for sinners. He said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Yes, if you lift up the work of Christ and the redemptive work that he did on the cross, it's attractive. Magnets attract, and we know magnets can repel. You remember having two magnets and trying to put them together, and they'd repel each other and push each other away sometime. But positive volition, a positive V, a plus plus a V, positive volition is attracted to the magnet. And negative volition is repelled from the magnet. Either way, positive or negative, when you influence your periphery, your field of influence, someone you know, at least the justice of God will be vindicated, since the love of God provided redemption for that individual. You know, influencer today is a big word, and you may not be aware of what we call social media influencers. I call them cosmic influencers. Social media influencers is a user on a social media platform who's established credibility in a specific industry. The social media influencer has access to large audiences and can actually persuade others by virtue of their authenticity and their outreach. The average social media influencer can take home anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000 per year, that's the average person, by promoting products like clothing or food or hotels, even vitamin supplements, if they do it on their media, social media web pages. Users that have more than 1 million followers can make up to $100,000 or even $250,000 per sponsored post, according to a recent survey of Vox, V-O-X. And you might not know what Vox is. It's an American news and opinion website owned by Vox Media. Let me give you some examples of a social media influencer. Kylie Jenner, 22 years old, Kylie Jenner can make more than $1 million per sponsored Instagram post when she does that. Cristiano Ronaldo, 35-year-old Portuguese soccer star, makes $975,000 for each sponsored Instagram post. Kim Kardashian, who married Kanye West, makes $910,000 for every sponsored Instagram post. Kanye West, her husband, is a media star himself, winning 21 Grammy Awards, and he's a professed Christian who hosts a YouTube channel and has over 1 million subscribers himself. There's a young man who's 8 years old. Ryan Kaji, K-A-J-I, 8 years old, and he remains YouTube's highest earner, and in 2019, as a social media influencer, an 8-year-old boy made $26 million. His influence is in the toy industry, and he has his own Ryan's World channel on YouTube. And there are over 25 million people subscribed to those videos, and they have been viewed over 30 billion times. These insane numbers show you the reach of these influencers, and most of it's on the cell phone. I mean, look at the mass crowds on television during a protest, and you'll see almost all of them have cell phones, and they're trying to record events as they unfold. Sending texts back and forth, where to meet, what to do, and so forth, coordinating the next rally point, all by cell phone. And by the way, all hoping to capture something spectacular so they can sell it to some TMZ or some other media giant and make a fortune. These social media influencers are nothing but cosmic recruiters. Cosmic recruiters. They try to influence the youth of their countries in matters of fashion, style, health, and, of course, politics. Listen, when there's no wisdom inculcated, the youth of a nation will fall for anything. And this describes the youth of the United States of America during the last four generations. There was a time when I started speaking in schools that I could speak in any school, anywhere, anytime, if they invited me. no longer today, because my message represents the Lord Jesus Christ. I still speak in many, many schools, but they are private academies. They're not necessarily Christian schools, but they're sure not public schools, because as soon as a public school finds out you're going to mention Jesus, nope, out the door you go. So we have four generations of young people that have no wisdom. There's no counter to the cosmic system lies and the cosmic system deceptions. What's the cosmic system? That's human viewpoint thinking that Satan spawns. So today we see a generation of radicals, a generation of anarchists spawned from previous generations. And you know what else you get? You get what we call cosmic robocalls. I bet you get a cell phone robocall. You probably, like me, get four or five a day. They come daily trying to influence and divert attention from the real issue of the decaying nation. And a lot of people are manipulated by these venues. Next time you get a robocall, just answer it and say, "Sheriff's Department, Fraud Division." And most of the time, they'll hang up. These cosmic robocalls, every day you'll get them, trying to sell you a warranty or trying to do this, trying to do that. And on the Internet, you have something called clickbait. You say, what is that? It's a social media influencer. The content of the post is designed to attract attention and encourage you to click on that particular website. It's a form of false advertisement. The best bait that you can give, the best bait I have, and I'm a good fisherman, I have a lot of baits, but the best bait that I have is the good news. My sins have been paid for. Jesus Christ forgave me. I'm going to heaven. Forgiveness is available through faith in Christ. He is the anointed Son of God. That is the best bait anyone could ever hear. Your job as a spiritual influencer, not a social media influencer, a spiritual influencer, your job, number one, is not to be a role model. You're not designed to be a role model. I mean, there are a lot of people who establish dependency as a role model, and they often get worshipped by impressionable and misguided children. But the role model has to be, without a doubt, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2:21-22, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." There's your role model. "He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth." That's the role model we need. Hopefully, we've all learned what it means to be a member of the Pivot. I've talked about it a lot on this show. That's the group of mature believers that deliver a nation in time of trouble. The Pivot, the core group of mature believers that deliver a nation in time of trouble. Remember, Gideon had only 300 soldiers that God could use, but they delivered him from 65,000 frenzied Midianites. God doesn't need a lot. He just needs one man with wisdom. I read you that verse. And hopefully, you're the man. You're the lady. Those who use civil unrest and social media as a means to promote their agenda all have one thing in common: social justice and reform. That's the hidden objective of Satan. And it's always been to eliminate the claims of Jesus Christ. And I can assure you, the devil, a.k.a. Satan, will stop at nothing to complete his desired will. And he will use diversion and deception to advance his plan. The hidden objective of Satan through all of this social media influence is to shut down the message of Jesus Christ. The only thing that's true, the only thing that's lasting, the only thing that is real reform is redemption and reconciliation. We are redeemed out of the slave market of sin, and we are reconciled to our relationship with God through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But you know, an anarchist is not interested in the claims of the Bible, rather just the claims of humanism or progressivism, even communism. That's what they want to achieve their desired state, since they have this cosmic influence in their life. Since you're here now, growing in grace, you and I, we must understand our calling, which is to have an impact in our very own field of influence. Our very own field of influence. And we have an impact for Christ. Let me say it again. You and I are here. We're growing in grace, and we must understand our calling, which is to have an impact in our field of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't have a field of influence. I don't buy that. Take a look around you and decide for yourself, what is your field of influence? Maybe you're influencing a lot of people. Maybe you're influencing a few people. Maybe one or two. But when the young man led me to Christ, he had no idea what he was doing. When a young man from South Africa took me into the bedroom of a friend's house and got on his knees and prayed with me, and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me, he had no idea what my life would turn out to be. And you have no idea the people you talk to, what could happen in their lives. So, the only true and lasting reform is redemption and reconciliation. So, you have to understand this. What is your field of influence? You know, the greatest influencers of all time went from being commoners to criminals. As a matter of fact, in the end, most of them were murdered and suffered a martyr's death. And it could be your future as well, I hate to tell you, but it could be. Who am I talking about, these great influencers? Well, I'm talking about the disciples who went from being blue-collar fishermen to royalty as New Testament apostles. They had no idea that they were going to write a Bible. They had no idea what God was going to do with their life. They just answered the call when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There was something so dynamic, something so intriguing, something so alluring about the Lord Jesus Christ. When they looked upon him, they could not help but follow him. And their mission was found in Matthew 28:19-20. It was called the Great Commission. Go into all the world. So here's the principle for you. The spiritual influencer, that's you. You, wherever you may be, in your city, in your family, in your home, the spiritual influencer must be prepared for conflict. Conflict. It's going to come. Conflict. Could be family conflict. Could be religious conflict. It could be social conflict. But listen to what the Bible says about this in Matthew 10:21-22. "And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated by all men because of my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be delivered." People of conviction, like you, like me, are not tolerated. And you are pressured to give in and capitulate. You're pressured not to say anything. You're pressured just to let it slide. You're pressured just to go your own way. You're being manipulated. You don't even know it. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, "Don't think I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies shall be the members of his own household." Here's a sad principle. Your children may reject your wisdom as they get sucked into the lie of the cosmic system. If they have no biblical wisdom, then they will have no insight, no discernment to deter them from the truth. They won't be able to determine the truth, is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, it's sad, but the older you get, the dumber they think you are. You know, they used to love you. They used to listen to you. Now they're 40 and you're 70 and they think you're stupid and you don't know what you're talking about. Well, our Lord gave instructions to these 12 apostles that they were to evangelize the lost sheep of the house of Israel, saying the kingdom was at hand. And in Matthew, the Bible goes on to say in Matthew 10, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, where he said, "Don't go in the way of the Gentiles and don't enter into any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And he told them who to go speak to and what to say. They were instructed not to raise money for their mission trip, but to depend on God's people to supply their needs. That's what we do here. We never ask for money. No missionary should ever ask anybody for money. And two, he warned them about opposition and instructed them to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. Wise in avoiding danger and harmless in not openly opposing the enemy. In Matthew 10:16, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove." That means the missionary must stay out of politics. That's not your field of influence. Stay out of politics. Your field of influence is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he warned them about the canine clergy. Look out, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And the missionary, you and I, we must understand the biggest threat to the gospel message is organized religion. The Lord Jesus Christ alerted them to the vicious name-calling and slander they were going to face in their lives. That's the cosmic system tactics of taunting them. This is what he said in Matthew 10:25. If they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign the members of the household? So he instructed them to eliminate all fear. Get rid of your fear, he said. Matthew 10:26. Don't be afraid of them. Don't fear them who can kill your body, but are unable to kill the soul. All this is necessary for you to understand, if you to apply, if you have any hope of being a spiritual influencer in a dying nation such as the United States of America today. And 1 Peter 3, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you will be blessed. So do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. In Matthew 5, happy are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. I want you to be a media influencer, not a social media influencer, but an influencer in your own field of influence, in your family, in your nation. You can be an invisible hero. You can have a historical impact. You can have an invisible impact. So many things you can do by being an influencer for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about this a lot more in the future. I hope you'll come back next week, same time, same place. And we can provide this for you in transcript or on CD. Okay, until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Good morning and welcome to The Floodline, F-L-O-T, Floodline. That's an acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. No, we're not talking about the military, but we're talking about a spiritual forward line of troops in your soul. 10 unique problem-solving devices that will stop the outside sources of adversity before they ever become the inside source of stress. That's why we always say adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. There is a unique life you can live free of stress. It is called the Christian life. No worry, no fear, no bitterness, no anger, no vindictiveness, no implacability. That's the Christian life. It's a wonderful way to live. And when you learn God's problem-solving devices that we state as the Floodline, 10 unique problem-solving devices, then you're able to deploy these into the forward compartment of your thinking and use them as, quote, the mind of Christ. You know, God gave you two ends. You hear me say it all the time. One of them you sit with and one of them you think with. Success in life is going to depend on which one you lean to. Heads you win, tails you lose, obviously. So we're talking about putting something in your head. It's soul renovation before any sort of action renovation. And in the soul renovation, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and when you're learning God's Word and growing in grace, then you become an influencer for God. We've been talking the last two Sunday mornings about being an influencer and giving you illustrations of social media influencers in the free world today. The amazing amount of money these people make for publicizing their favorite things on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook. But the influencer that I'm talking about is not going to make a dime out of this. This is simply being an influencer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we gave you the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4 who went back into the city of Samaria and influenced the whole town. And so many of them came out to hear Christ and believed in him because of her testimony to them. And I talked about John the Baptist, how he influenced so many people in the wilderness. We want to carry that influencer concept on today because I know many of you are listening to me from California, even to New York. We broadcast on nearly 40 stations today, and hopefully we'll be up over 50 by the end of the year. But if you are one of these that I know is a spiritually mature believer, that you're growing in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm counting on you to be an influencer. This is a challenge to you. If you're a Christian and you feel like you can have an impact in this world, what can you do? What can you do to change the course of history, the way things are going in Client Nation USA? So let's get some principles on what you personally can do to be an influencer. Number one, remember you are God's personal representative for the Lord Jesus Christ during your time on earth. So whatever amount of time he gives you, that's your job, to be a representative of Jesus Christ. By doing this, you represent him to your friends. You represent him by demonstrating the mind of Christ. As the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. And remember, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says the Bible, the New Testament, is the mind of Christ. So as you learn it, use it, think it, and apply it into your life, you become an effective influencer for those around you. So God, point two, entrusted you with his plan for all of mankind. What is his plan? It's redemption. Redeem the man that you know out of the slave market of sin. That's what God provided through his son's death, burial, and resurrection. Redemption. And you have the opportunity to give this message to those that you know. You can influence even those you don't know, the message of redemption. So our mission, point three, is not political. It's not why we're here. We're not here to promote a candidate, although there are candidates we like and approve of because of their stand on the rule of law and their stand on divine institutions. But our mission is not political. It's personal. We represent ourselves, point four, before God, and we represent God before men. Again, we represent ourselves before God, and we represent God before men. So listen to 2 Corinthians 5:18, if you would. Now, all of these things are from God. This is through verse 20, 2 Corinthians 5:18 through verse 20. All of these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's you and me. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting their sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, as though God was making a direct appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our job. We are reconcilers. We are influencers that influence people's lives with the ministry of reconciliation. Those instructions, point five, I just read to you are your written instructions in the Bible. God laid it all out for you right there. Be a reconciler, that you are to do that. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Point six, don't take any insults as personal in regards to the gospel message, because you will be insulted. You will be pushed away, but it's not personal. It's the Lord Jesus Christ they hate. It's the plan of God they hate. So point seven, don't waste your time pushing any political agenda. If you want to push something, push the gospel, the good news. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter wrote these words, "Sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts." That's occupation with Christ, problem-solving device number 10. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you. There it is. There's the ministry of reconciliation. Make a defense to anyone who asks you. And to give an account for the hope, and that word hope there is confidence, that you have. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Gentleness is the Greek word in the Greek New Testament, protes, and it means humility and mild disposition. And the word reverence is an interesting word, too. Gentleness is meekness and a mild disposition, not trying to straighten anybody out, But reverence is great respect to those that you speak with. They may mock you, they may reject your message, but you must be respectful and gentle with them. That's the way the Bible says we have to do it if we're going to be an influencer. Now, there's a special person who's an influencer. He's a man with a communication gift. And he has been trusted with a special calling and more than likely chained to that calling. Paul wrote, "I am an ambassador in chains," that's metaphorically speaking, "to make known the mystery of the gospel." Any man who has the gift of pastor, teacher, or evangelist like myself, we are chained to that gift. And lo, man, if we walk away from that, if we don't want to use it, and I promise you, Satan will offer you all sorts of great things if you just won't use your gift. I've seen it in my own life and the lives of friends that I know, people that said, you know, "I think I may have the gift of pastor, teacher," and they got some fame, they got some publicity, they got married, they got whatever, and that went out the window. So if you have that gift, you must understand God equipped you for a reason, and that is to change the world through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all of us, including a pastor, we make a pulpit out of our circumstances in every area of our life every day. Whatever we're doing, it must be a pulpit of our circumstances. The Lord, you know, I talk to people who say they shared the gospel with the guy that came to fix the air conditioner. Or they shared the gospel with the guy that was cutting the lawn. Or they gave him a book to read, maybe some book that deals with the gospel, or maybe one of our books or something like that. So there's always people you can influence every day. The Lord uses ambassadors like this in business and in professions, in home, academic life, local churches. Wherever you may be found, you are supposed to be an influencer. Therefore, Colossians 4:5 says this, "Conduct yourself with wisdom," that means insight, "and discernment. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders," and then listen carefully, "making the most of each opportunity." That's the question I have to ask you. When you were with that person yesterday, was it an opportunity or was it an inconvenience to talk to them about the gospel? Never fail to at least ask one simple question. If the opportunity presents itself, ask this simple question. Do you mind me asking, if you died today, would you go to heaven? You will be surprised what kind of door that would open. That person may say, "Well, I'm not sure. I don't really know." And you could say, "Well, could I pray with you for a minute and ask God to help you understand it?" And maybe they will ask questions. Maybe you can guide them into the right questions. But it's an opportunity. So conduct yourself with insight and discernment towards those outside the plan of God, making the most of every opportunity that he gives you. Listen to Paul's testimony to his critics, the people that criticize him for being an influencer. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," Romans 1:16, "for that gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it, to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek." Here's some principles. One, never be embarrassed to give the gospel anytime, anywhere. I remember praying in a restaurant one time with a friend who was in the ministry, and a waitress came up and was literally shocked. And in the middle of the prayer, she said, "Are you two praying?" And I just kind of opened one eye and looked at her and gave a wink and said, "Yep." And never be embarrassed to give the gospel, anytime, anywhere. Point two, what happens if you have no influence on your peers? What happens if nothing happens? You know, a peer is someone at your own level, from the Latin par, which means equal. So what happens if you have no influence? Well, the gospel message is the most powerful thing in the whole world. It's the power of God. What's amazing is many people will pay a lot of money to be motivated to lose weight or motivated to achieve a certain goal in their life, go to some business class to learn how to be a closer or something like that. The love of God is the greatest motivator in the world, and it's free. And when you encounter the gift of salvation through Christ, you will never, ever, ever be the same. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That means that a spiritual birth produces a spiritual life. You'll have new goals, new aspirations, and if you have any type of hunger to grow, you will follow these goals and aspirations as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I can assure you, if someone accepts Christ, the first thing the devil's going to do is to try to lure them away from any consistent Bible study. He won't mind if they get involved in a little group sing-along, and he won't mind if they go have a Christian marshmallow roast, but if it's any teaching, any in-depth instruction from the Word of God, he will do everything he can to block it. You know, one of the greatest influences in the Old Testament was Noah and his peers, and he had no influence at whatsoever. They didn't listen to him at all. The Bible says in Genesis 6:5-7, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was constantly on evil. You know, pardon me, but that sounds a lot like the free world today, doesn't it? I mean, years of scar tissue built up in the lives of young people have brought them to a no-limit type lifestyle. And exposure to media-related deviation has scarred the minds of many of America's youth. So who will call them out of sin and into the light? Who's going to do that? You and me, we're the only ones. You haven't seen any angels flapping around doing it. We are the ones, beginning with our own children and our grandchildren. And I'm proud to say many of you are indeed doing that. That's a wonderful thing. But notice the similarities to Noah's days and our days. Luke 17:26, and as it happened in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day Noah entered that ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And it will be just the same on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It'll happen the same way at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, before the second advent occurs, there is the exit resurrection, better known as the rapture of the church, where any believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to heaven immediately, goes before the judgment seat of Christ, given his rewards, and returns with the Lord to set up the millennial kingdom at his second advent. And so in verse 6 of Luke 17, Genesis 6:6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Grieved him at his heart. What does that mean? Simply put, God's delivered this nation, client nation America, through two world wars, countless other conflicts, as well as through depression and disease. But if he looked at our current state of affairs today, would it grieve him? Would it? Sin is rampant in this nation. The gospel is marginalized in this nation. Humanism is proclaimed as the answer to the woes of America, and politicians claiming through progressive humanism they can fix it all. I mean, I can go on and on and on about abortion and go on and on and on about murder and crime and statistics. What would God say? Yay, hooray, what a wonderful client nation I have there. Or would he say, what is wrong with these crazy people? They have lost their mind. So here's what happened, verse 7, with Noah. The Lord said, I'm going to destroy man who I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I even made them. You know, God answered the rebellion against his will by simply allowing the rebels to run everything within the prescribed limits, and letting the resulting chaos witness against them. That's kind of what must happen here in this nation. Events must continue until it becomes evident before men, angels, and demons that no will, apart from the will of God, is capable of bringing order and peace and righteousness to this crazy country we live in. These verses that I just read to you, very important. Psalm 14:2-3. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek him, and they had all gone astray. They are all together become filthy, and there are none that doeth good, no, not even one. Noah was tasked with influencing a wicked generation, and his message was completely ignored. The only converts he had were his family. However, the justice of God was vindicated, since in love and in mercy he gave Noah at least 120 years to proclaim the message. That's why the Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3:9. You and I are also tasked with the same mission. We have to influence a faithless generation in America. And you need to remember, political solutions are human solutions, and human solutions are no solutions. It's a spiritual problem we have. We have a spiritual problem. It's not systemic racism. It's not just crime and rampant immorality. It's a spiritual problem. Every man and woman in this country has a sin nature, and the sin natures are running out of control with no borders. No one's telling them this is wrong. No one's saying you can't do that. You're going to bring destruction and death on yourself if you follow that lifestyle. To change a man's behavior, there's got to be a change of heart. That's why Ezekiel 36:26 says, "Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove your heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." That's what happens when a person gets saved. The insensitive, cold, dead heart is removed, and you start again. You have a spiritual birthday. It's a heart transplant. But it requires some sort of positive volition at God consciousness when you learn that there is a God. I remember, let me ask you, do you remember the first time you ever heard about God? Ever? Ever? I mean, I was just 11 years old at a place called French Camp, Mississippi, when I heard a speaker from China Inland Mission talk about God, and I wanted to know God. I wasn't mad at God. I wasn't against God. I just never heard anything about God. But I didn't get enough gospel to be saved until I was 22. But I was positive at the first hearing of God consciousness. And God kept me alive. God delivered me through all of my stupid things. Remember, stupid hurts. Don't forget that. And eventually, when I was 22, I heard the clear gospel message. That's the way God works. And it may be working like that in your life. So do you remember the first time you ever heard the gospel message? When you had a heart transplant? You know, you may spend all of your days promoting your platform, which we call the Christian life, and you may have absolutely no results, just like Noah. But don't be discouraged. I remember the man who led me to Christ. He had no idea. No idea when he knelt with me in that home and we prayed together and I asked the Lord to save me. He had no idea that God would put me in the ministry and use me for 50 plus years to proclaim the message of faith alone and Christ alone, and to teach how to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had no idea, and you have no idea. The one person you talk to may be the influencer that changes the course of history in this country. Let's look at Philip the evangelist and his ministry. In Acts 8:4-8, therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. These are the disciples. Remember, the power's in the message, not in the man, not in the style, but in the message. So Philip, verse 5, Acts 8:5, went down to the city of Samaria, the same place the Lord Jesus had been in John chapter 4. And he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. These miracles that he did were an authentication sign of his gift, that he actually was from God. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city because of the message of Philip. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard the Samaritans had received the word of God, Acts 14:16, they sent Peter and John down. These are men who had a little more information. And when they came down, they prayed for them. And they received the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had not fallen upon these people in Samaria, They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so they had not had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit yet. But Philip got a new assignment. He became an influencer in the middle of the desert. In Acts 8:28, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, okay, get up now. Your time here in Samaria is over with. Go down to the south into the way that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is the desert. And I can imagine Philip said, are you sure, Lord? Let me get some canteens with water. So he got up and he went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, he was a Gentile, maybe a God-fearing man, maybe a full-fledged proselyte. I don't really know. But the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, that's him, get up, go run and join him in his chariot. So he ran up in verse 30 of Acts 8 and heard him reading the book of Isaiah. And he asked the eunuch, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, of whom does the prophet speak? Who's he talking about here in Isaiah 53:7-9? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. Remember, the power's in the gospel, not the persuasive ability of Peter, of Philip. So whenever there's positive volition at any type of God consciousness, God is always going to provide a gospel hearing. And here he was positive. This man wanted to know. And the Lord said, okay, Philip, go stand in the highway in the Gaza desert and wait till this guy comes by. God consciousness is what this Ethiopian had. It's defined as the status of any normal human being who becomes aware of the existence of God through the function of his own mentality. So God made his existence plain to every one of us. We can all see there's a God. So when any member of the human race reaches God consciousness or awareness of the existence of God, this is classified biblically and theologically as the point of accountability. This is when he becomes accountable, when he learns there is a God and he wants to know God. So how can you influence anyone in your life, maybe even in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the city? Well, the gospel is alive and powerful, and when it's given, it can change men's heart and it can change the course of history, but it has to be heard. And it must be believed, and then it produces a new man in Christ. But if there's anything Satan does, it is to pervert and prevent the gospel from being given. So remember, you have at your fingertips the most powerful thing in the world. The power of God is in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God, Paul said. Those words about the reconciliation of Christ, what he's done to redeem man, this can change a man's life forever, give him a new destiny. When you explain to him the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross and how Christ paid the penalty for his sins, if that man you explain it to believes it and receives Christ as his Savior, he has eternal life. His life is changed forever because of the power of the cross, which are the words that you gave to him. Remember that forever. You have more power than even the dadgum atomic bomb at your fingertips. We can develop military weapons that can kill the enemy, but we can't save people. Only God can do that, and you have the weapon that saves them. It's called the gospel, the good news, the life, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the anointed Son of God. When we believe the gospel, then we become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. It was for this that he called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip's job, give the gospel. Your job, give the gospel. That's your job. That's how you become an influencer. Have you ever requested an assignment from God? I wish you'd consider that. Isaiah 6:8. Here am I, send me. Request an assignment from God. Ask him to use you, and he will. Remember, you're tasked with being an influencer. There's more to come. I hope you'll come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.